Are you ready for the new year? Well, we have to start it with the Word of God, and I'm going to touch a little bit on yesterday, then get into tonight's message. It says in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 20th verse, it says, believe in the Lord. Didn't Jesus say all things are possible to him that believeth? He didn't say all things are possible that can explain it. He can't explain everything in life, but he said, all things are possible to him that believes. And if you don't believe you're alive, pinch yourself. I believe that some people don't even think they're alive, the way they act. But I'm sure you're very much alive if you can feel pain. So it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. And that word establishment, it means to be kept safe. How many know the Lord keeps you? The Lord is going to keep you safe when you believe in him. Then it says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now, notice this does not say believe in the prophets. It says believe in the Lord. Everyone say believe in the Lord.
Believe in the Lord.
But it's not saying believe in the prophets. All it is saying is believe his prophets. And we looked up that word belief, and what did that word belief mean, Evelyn?
It means to support the prophets.
Uh-oh. Everyone say support.
Support.
No, I didn't hear you. Everyone say what?
Support.
It didn't say believe his prophets. It says believe in the Lord. It says he is support. Support his prophets, so shall you prosper. The problem is a lot of people, they follow man and instead of following the Lord. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? The Lord is your shepherd. So when you believe in the Lord, you're going to be kept safe. You'll be established. Support his prophets. Believe in that word means support. You don't believe everything a man tells you. If you do, there's something wrong with you. That's what I'm saying here. You don't believe in the prophets. You believe in the Lord. But all it is saying here is support the ministry. And if you support the ministry, so shall you prosper. It's not just going to church. That's not the answer. But it says here, in giving, you will prosper. This is the message for 2004. So you don't believe in Pastor Profeta. You believe in the Lord. But it says you support the prophets. And isn't it strange my last name is Prophet? Because in Spanish, Profeta is prophet. And in Italian, it's prophet. P-R-O-F-E-T-A in Spanish is prophet. And it's the same thing in Italian. Now, isn't that strange that the Lord chose to give me a name, a prophet? I didn't choose the name. I had nothing to do with it. I was born with that name. You see, you don't make preachers. You have to be born a preacher. You don't make a musician. You have to be born a musician. You don't make Christians. You have to be born a Christian. Apostle Paul said, I found out it wasn't on the road to Damascus. That's it where the miracle took place. He said, I found out that I was separated from my mother's womb at birth. He said, I was chosen at birth. Isn't it good to know that God chose you at birth? And that's why in 2004, you are going to prosper. And even believing is not of yourself. Even believing is a gift of God. There are a lot of people that come around, they can't believe. I have one fellow says, I just can't believe. He knows how to make money. He believes in making money, but he just can't believe in God. Yep. Because believing is not of yourself. Believing is a gift from God. Amen. Then I made mention yesterday that Jehoshaphat, after they praised the Lord and went out to battle, that Jehoshaphat now came to take away the spoil. And they found among them, in the 25th verse, in abundance riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. We are now in 2004. So from 2001, 2, and 3, you've been in a battle. Now it says on the in the verse 26, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves together at Massapequa Tabernacle. Are you here? You see, this is the fourth year, isn't it? It says, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in Massapequa Tabernacle. But it says, Barak, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Praise. That's what it means until this day. So on the fourth day, they were thanking God. They returned and they thanked God that they made it through the battle. And they collected the spoils, and now they were in church, said, God, you brought us this far, and now this is the year of restoration. So, Kevin, in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and the 11th verse, what does it say there? Was the Lord prophesying for the year 2004?
Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Now, before we go further, let's start with the 10th verse. Go back and read the 10th verse.
For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place.
How many know God has an appointed time? He is prophesying, Jeremiah saying here, that when 70 years is accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you. How many know God has an appointed time? And I just read to you in 2 Chronicles 20, that on the fourth day they brought their spoils, they got them, and they went to the house of the Lord, and they were thanking God for his blessings. We are thanking God in the new year, because the Lord said, after 70 years, is this the seventh day? Isn't it strange that the first school of the prophets, here it is, the seventh day. Oh, I like what God does, everything he has an appointed time for. And this year he's letting us know that even the last Wednesday, it was going into the new year. We've been through the battle in 2001, 2, and 3. But they were praising the Lord, and as they praised the Lord, they went out and they collected the spoils. And on the fourth day in the fourth year, were we not here the fourth year on New Year's Eve praising the Lord? Praising the Lord for the abundance of all things. So what does it say in the 70th year, Kevin?
That after 70 years be accomplished, at Babylon I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place.
Now remember, Daniel was attending Massapequa Tabernacle and he prayed 3 times a day. Because he knew God's word. When you know God's word, you can open your window in the morning. And he was reminding God, he was saying, God, I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for the end of the 70 years. I'm waiting for my blessing. And at noon he praised God, and in the evening he praised the Lord. He praised God 3 times a day, and they wanted to close Daniel's mouth. They put him in the lion's den, but God shut the lion's mouth. And in the year 2004, God is going to shut the lion's mouth. I'll tell you again, I said in the year 2004, because 3 times a day he prayed. 2001, 2, and 3 are past. We are now into 2004, and on the fourth day, Jehoshaphat's army was praising the Lord because they won the battle. We have won the battle and we've made it. Hallelujah. I said, God watches over his word to bring it to pass. 90 years old, and God shut the lion's mouth. I got good news for you. Don't go around saying you're too old. Too old now. Old is an attitude. God ain't looking at your net worth and how much you're worth. He's looking of how much you think of yourself. Some people put a value on what they have. I don't have a value on what I have. I have a value of what's within me. Can you say hallelujah? The value that I have within here is more than anything you could obtain in life. When you value yourself, that's when God can bless you. It's not what you've accumulated in life. Like you see bumper stickers, he who has the most toys at the end wins. That's a lie. It ain't the one who has the most toys at the end is the winner. It's the one that has the gift of eternal life. Those are the winners. Can you say praise the Lord? Toys don't give you eternal life. So what does it say, Kevin?
After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Hallelujah. It's not talking about peace in this world. It's talking about peace in your life. It's talking about prosperity. It's talking about health. It's talking about joy. It's talking about soundness of mind. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound what? Mind. God's going to restore people's minds. I said there is a sickness in the world today, and it's mental. And that's what it means, thoughts of peace. I'm going to restore not only physically, but I'm going to restore spiritually and financially. There is going to be a spiritual healing mentally to people. Amen. I feel good tonight. So he knows about the thoughts of peace. Go ahead.
I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
To give us what?
An expected end.
Now, the word expected, there was a little asterisk mark there. And that means there has another meaning to it. And that word expected means you can expect to collect. And it says in the latter, listen to it again, read it in what? Expected end? Not that word expected end means in the latter day. Everybody say the latter day. What'd you find there, Evelyn, in the concordance? What did it say for expected end?
Expected end had an asterisk mark, and the way it's translated in the original is you can expect to collect in the latter day.
And is this the latter day? And there's something in here. Is this the latter day? You can expect to collect in the latter day. Didn't the Lord turn the water into wine? And didn't the governor of the fee said you've saved the best for the last? You're not leaving here defeated. I said you're going to leave here with victory. You're going to leave here with joy, with the blessings of God upon your life. God isn't taking miserable people out of here. You don't marry a miserable bride. Every bride is happy that I've seen that walks down the aisle. And then after that, as I said, then after that, then you got to go and sign a contract the second time around. The first time everybody's happy. Isn't that right? God is not coming back for a miserable bride. He's not coming back for a sorry bride or a defeated bride. So it says here, to give you an expected end, that God is going to restore in the latter days. His blessings are going to be upon you. And when Jesus turned the water into wine, the governor of the feast said, you have saved the best for the last. And we have been preaching that we are living just before the coming of the Lord, and God has saved his best, and it's prophetic here that he's going to give you an expected end in the latter days. Come on, you can do better than that. Expect it means expect to collect. Everyone say, expect to collect. In the latter days. Are these the latter days?
Yes.
Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. Now notice that word me is in italics. You don't find God. Say, I don't find God. People are going to church to find God. That's why it's in italics. That was added in by the translators. It says, and you shall seek me and find me. Who finds God? You don't find God. They're looking for him on Mars right now. They want to see if there was life up there. They're trying to find out what it's all about. Well, the Lord simply tells you that when you seek me, hello? Not find me. You're not going to find God. He finds you. So that word find means to attain the promises from God. You acquire the goods. It says in finding him, you got it here tonight? Underline that. In finding him, you acquire the goods. Say acquire the goods. Can't find him. He finds you. When you shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, well, Pastor, you see that word search is there. Well, that word search simply means worship frequently and diligently. That's how you do it. Worship frequently and diligently. Say frequently. And diligently. That's all searching for God. You don't find God. How many know he found you? Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has done what? Except the Father which sent me does what? Draw him. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that is drawing you to the Father. All right? So you shall seek me and shall find prosperity. You don't find God. He finds you. When you worship him frequently with all your heart. And all your heart means courage and understanding. That's why people don't receive from the Lord, because they put more of a value in what man says than what God says. All it says is support the prophets. It didn't say believe in the prophets. You believe in the Lord. And when you have the understanding that the blessings come from God, he says, then you can receive. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I'm going to turn your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Why were they carried away captive to begin with, Kevin?
Because for 490 years, which is 70 Sabbath years, that's 70 times 7, they did not let the land rest. Moses had warned them every seventh year they were to let the land rest. And they didn't do that like man likes to do. We convince ourselves that we don't need to follow God's word and that we can do it in and of ourselves. And they didn't, not only that, but they didn't honor God in their giving either. So God said, because of that, for 70 years, you'll be carried away into Babylon.
So what it's saying, they didn't pay their tithes.
Right.
That's all it's saying. They did not pay their tithes. And because they didn't pay their tithes, they went into captivity. So now the Lord says, the time has come when I'm going to release you. I'm going to set you free from this bondage that you've been in. And the church has been in a religious bondage, but the day has come where God has said, and this is the latter day, this is the latter end, this is your expected end. He said, in the expected end, in the latter days, I am going to bless you. Everyone say, Lord, I receive it.
Lord, I receive it.
Lord, I receive it.
Lord, I receive it.
Well, this makes the devil mad. Matthew 26. The latter end, getting ready, 2 days to the feast of the Passover in the second verse. He says, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified. And there comes a woman that anoints the body of Jesus with a very precious ointment. And she poured it on his head. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment may have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said, why do you trouble this woman? She's wrought a good work upon me. How much did this woman give, Barry?
A year's wages.
How much was that?
300 pence, 300 days work.
How many days work?
300 days work.
She gave a year's wages. And the reason why she gave it, because her brother was raised from the dead. You see, a lot of people make God promises. God, if you'll just get me out of this mess. Lord, I promise you I'm going to do the right thing. Well, this woman did the right thing, because this is why Lazarus was raised from the dead. Because God knew the heart, and God knew that this woman was hospitable, and that this woman had a giving spirit within her. And because she did here before his crucifixion, she comes and gives a year's wages. How much is it worth to see a loved one raised from the dead? How much is it worth to you? What is it worth to see somebody healed, a loved one healed? People will go through millions of dollars. They'll go get heart. How much did your heart operation cost, Joe? $100,000. $100,000 for a heart operation. People will spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to be healed, trying to have their own way, going to lawyers. And God simply says, if you honor me and you give it, I will bless you and will keep you from evil. But people don't seem to believe that. But if they could get a hold of it, and this is like the children of Israel, they didn't seem to believe when God said, let the seventh year rest, that's a tithe unto me. And because they didn't pay their tithe, they went into captivity for 70 years. But now God said, it's the appointed time, and you are going to be set free. And I believe this is the appointed time that the church has come, and this is why God said, start school of the prophets, because there are those that are going to receive, and there are those that are not going to find God, but they're going to worship God, and because they worship him, he said, I will bless you. We're not here to find God tonight. We're not here to find God in school of the prophets. Read it, Kevin, in Jeremiah. I have so much here to say tonight. Go back to the 29th chapter. Read that through one more time.
10th verse. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you.
So God's always right on time, right, Barry?
He certainly is.
When he gives you a set time, he means exactly what he says. And where all this took place is in Iraq. Everybody say Iraq.
Iraq.
That was called Babylon in that day, but it was in Iraq where all of this took place. Today it's called Iraq. In the Old Testament, it was called Babylon. It was in Babylon where they were brought into captivity. Isn't it strange? Everything is ending up there. Where it started, that's where it's ending. She'll continue.
After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
What's an expected end, Evelyn?
That means you can expect to collect in the latter days.
You can expect to do what?
To collect.
In what days?
In the latter days.
In the latter days. We are living in that day. I get happy when I read this word. This is your inheritance, and I didn't lose any lottery ticket either.
No.
I didn't even find one. One is claiming they lost, and another one said, no, the money is mine. These promises are yours tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? I said, this is yours tonight. When it comes to money, man, people, they'll do everything that they can. They want that dollar. But the Lord says when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to be what? When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to be what? You're going to be filled with the blessings of God. So what does it say, Kevin?
It said, then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me.
We're going to do what?
You shall seek me and find.
Find who? You're not going to find God.
Right.
God finds you. All he is saying that when you worship him, you're going to attain his promises. You're going to get the goods. Say, the goods is mine.
The goods is mine.
Say, the money is mine.
Money is mine.
I didn't hear. The money is mine.
Money is mine.
So what else happened?
When you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I
When you search for me is simply worshiping God. Worshiping the Lord frequently and diligently. And all your heart means with courage. If you haven't been through a battle today, then you shouldn't be here tonight. I said it takes courage. Amen. It takes courage to serve the Lord. That's what God is looking for. People that have courage to serve him. And that's what he's talking about. That's why he says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. First of all, ladies, there are no good men. The steps of a good man in Psalms 37:23 are order of the Lord. If you notice, the word good is in italics. That was added in by the translators. All it is saying, a courageous man. Everyone said courageous. The steps of a courageous man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in people that have courage, that can come out, whether it's snowing, sleeting, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, whether it's below zero, and can come out and worship the Lord. That's what God takes pleasure in. And he said, when you do that, he said, I'm going to bless you. Then it says in the 24th verse, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That word fall means though you be judged by others. Say, though I be judged by others. As I was talking about falling. You don't fall from God's grace. Hello? You don't fall from God's grace because he says nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Are you getting the message? All that is talking about here is though he falls. Are you with me tonight? Though you be judged by others, you shall not be cast down. For the Lord upholds you with his hand. Didn't he say nobody plucks you out of my hand? So how can you fall? Then he's contradicting himself. All he is saying, when people judge you, you're not going to be cast down because I've got you. Just like Peter, when he jumped out of the boat and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Peter jumps out of the boat, starts walking on the water. He begins to sink and the Lord takes him by the hand. God's not going to let you go under. Can you say amen? God's not going to see his children defeated. I have been young. And now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Was he talking about seed there, Evelyn?
The word seed here means his sowing time, his givings of gifts and offerings.
Your giving. It's not talking about your children. This seed is your giving. I've never seen people that give begging bread. Hello? Seed, say giving. Give us that again, please.
That word seed is your sowing time, your giving of gifts and offerings and tithes.
Now what is begging bread?
That means you will never strive for a good return.
You will never strive for a good return. Say no sweat.
No sweat.
It says, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. Who is merciful? God is merciful. And He lendeth, Evelyn?
Yes, that word lendeth means that He gives and furnishes our support.
He supports us. How many know God supports you? He is ever merciful, not man. Man is not all merciful all day long. God is merciful, all right? And He supports you, and His seed is blessed. Who is His seed?
His seed is His children.
You're God's seed tonight. Look at you. Think of that. You're God's seed tonight. You are blessed because you are His children. And God is merciful, and He supports you. He takes care of you. Now, the Lord saw Simon Peter coming to Him, Andrew, His brother. Meets up with Jesus. And when you meet up with Jesus, you've got good things to say. So Andrew gets a hold of his brother. And he said to Peter here in the 40th verse, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother, Simon, and he said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. And you know what he did? He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus saw him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Before anything was ever said, the Lord said, I'm changing your identity. Your identity has been changed. Your relatives don't know who you are. People you work with don't know who you are. You've got a new identity, but it doesn't matter whether they recognize it or not. You know that your identity has been changed. He said, I'm giving you a change. This is what happens when God chooses. You see, you don't find God. He found Peter. He found Andrew. And he brings him to Jesus. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth is, your name is going to be changed. I know what you are now, but I know what you are going to be. Hallelujah. Look up that word Simon, Evelyn. See what that means. S-I-M-O-N. And he brought him to Jesus. And the day following, Jesus would go into Galilee and found Philip and said to him, Follow me. And Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said, We have found of him whom Moses and the law and the prophets had brought, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, Can any good thing come out of Massapequa? Could any good thing come out of going to church? You see, you always have those that have a question mark. When something good happens, you always have something body say, well, can any good thing come out of going to church? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming, and he said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Now, know what he was talking about? There is no guile. That meant he didn't speak with a forked tongue. That meant he didn't speak with a split tongue. You see, there are people that they one day blessing you, the next day cursing you. When it says there is no guile, it was talking about the words that he spoke. He didn't speak with a split tongue. On the day of Pentecost, it said there was cloven tongues, and the word cloven means split, two tongues. Why is it said cloven tongues? Because on the day of Pentecost, it was representing mercy and judgment. Everyone say mercy and judgment. That's why it said two tongues. The Holy Spirit came and a fire from heaven, a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and appeared as cloven tongues. Cloven tongues means two. We are living now in the day of judgment. But we have received mercy. And this is the message that we have. But judgment is coming. And that's what the Holy Ghost spit on the day of Pentecost. That judgment is coming into the world. Two tongues. What does Simon mean, Evelyn?
Simon means one who hears with understanding.
If you want to receive, you got to understand. All right? Now Nathanael comes. And Jesus said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Jesus said, and Nathanael said unto him, how do you know me? Jesus said, before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus answered unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, do you believe? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you're going to see heaven open. You're going to see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Heaven is open for us, folks. You know why? Because you have believed. Nathanael, because you have believed, you're going to receive. You see, believed a simple thing that I said, I saw you under the fig tree. He said, you're going to see greater things than that. When God chooses you, it's not only being saved, but there are greater things that God has for you. And it's in this year of 2004 before the coming of Jesus Christ. The same Simon, who the Lord changed his name to Cephas, which is Peter. In Luke, the fifth chapter, after his name was changed, what happens, Kevin? Does the Lord get into his boat?
Yes, he does.
What happened?
Third verse. And he entered in, Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto one of the partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw...
Oh, wait a minute. Now Peter is mentioned?
Yes.
In the beginning, it said Simon, didn't it?
Right.
Now he says, what, Kevin?
When Simon Peter saw it.
Oh, now he uses the new name Peter. This is what I'm getting across to you. When the Lord changes your identity, get ready for your ship to be filled. You see, people don't get it. The Lord is trying to get a message through to people. It's not just going to church. Peter was a fisherman by trade. This was his occupation. This was his job. He needed money. Everybody say he needed money.
Needed money.
But the Lord said your name is going to be changed to Peter. Why? Because God said, I see the future and I see the blessings that are going to come upon your life. And here when the blessings come, he said what, Kevin?
When Simon Peter saw it.
When he saw, this is what's going to happen. You are going to see it with your eyes. And that's what the Lord told Nathanael. He said, Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. You thought it was a miracle because I said, I saw you under the fig tree. He said, but I got news for you. He said, herein you're going to see heaven open. Say heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You see, when the Lord gives you a word, it's not just for you to make it through life and then waiting to get to heaven when you die. He said, you are going to see more than what you've ever saw. Sitting under the fig tree was nothing. Sitting in church is nothing. He said, that's just a small part of what I'm going to do for you. But because you believe, then there's no guile and you don't speak with a forked tongue. He said, you're going to see the glory of God when? Now. While you are alive, before you ever get to heaven, you're going to see my glory. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, it's here, folks. I said, it's here. The glory of the Lord is here.